your Bibles out and go to Philippians. Philippians in your New Testament. Philippians. I'll read verse 1, then you read verse 2 with me. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for your wonderful salvation. Thank you for your precious word. Lord, there's so many needs represented here this morning. Please, you're the only one who can meet every one of them. Please touch our hearts, please, in a special way. Help me as I teach and preach this. Lord, I need your help. Please control my mind. And Lord, strengthen us as your people, please. In Jesus' name, amen. As an intro to the book of Philippians, there are four prison epistles: Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. There's four that God used Paul to write while he was in jail. Now, that's an important factor with this, because if God could use Paul to write a book of the Bible in jail, then what is its content? Not Ephesians or Colossians or Philemon, but what's the content of the book of Philippians? Philippians, I know that there's places in the Bible that God can help us. God says in Romans 15, verse 4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You ought to have places in the Bible where you can go to, especially when you get stressed, because the news ain't going to help you. Amen. Right? I don't think there's anything happening in our world right now that's encouraging. Okay? So where do you go? God says the Scriptures should be a place of patience and comfort. So you ought to have some place in your Bible where you can turn to. And as I thought of this week, and I know this has been building, and of course, we just get done with a coronavirus, and now we got to go through the foolishness of the riots. Look, I haven't talked to one person. Every person in our church is appalled that a police officer murdered somebody. Okay, I haven't talked to one person that thinks it was right. Every person I've talked to was appalled. Okay? But the riots solved nothing. All that should be done when an injustice happens is the criminals should be paying for it. Right? I think personally, it's just the Marine in me, if they wanted to execute George Floyd, then they should be executed. Okay? I know that's not going to happen. They're going to go to jail, and taxpayer money is going to pay $90,000 a year to keep each one of them alive so they can have internet and work out and, you know, a nice bed to sleep in and good meals and health care and, you know, all that other stuff. I understand that. But I personally would not have a problem if they were executed, since they wanted to execute somebody. Okay, so that isn't going to happen. But watching the insanity of what's happening in our country, you've got to have some focal point where you come back to and you say, you know what? I don't care what's going on in America. My world stays the same. Okay, you say, how can you say that in this time frame? Okay, the book of Philippians is called the book of joy in the New Testament. Okay, wait a second. Where was it written? God used a man who was a preacher in jail
chained to a wall in between two prisoners. Okay, the Mamertine prison was like this. That means for him to write, he was dictating, and there's a soldier here and a soldier here in the bottom of a pit with no lights. Okay, that's depressing. But this is the book of joy. This is called in the New Testament the book of joy. You say, why? The word sin is not found one time in four chapters. Okay? The word joy is found six times in four chapters. The word rejoice is found 10 times in four chapters. Joy and rejoicing, wow. Then just on an overview of the book, that tells me this. I can't fully understand this until I understand the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is because of my happenings. That's where the word happiness comes from. Because of what's happening around you, you can be happy. Joy is because of what God has done in you and has nothing to do with your circumstances or what's going on around you. Only a Christian can have joy. Anybody lost or saved can have happiness. Right? Because we all like it when things go well. And there's no flat tires in the rain. Right? And the chainsaw starts every time. Mine didn't Thursday. Okay. I tried to get that booger started. I was pulling out there in 90 degree. I was like, come on. You can do it. I took the whole stupid thing apart. I am sweat dripping everywhere. Finally, I just said, ah. Okay. I was not happy because of my happenings. Okay. However, a lost or saved person can be happy because of their happenings. Only a Christian can be joyful. Because God gave you some things when He saved you that never change. Your sins are always forgiven. You're always on your way to heaven. The Bible's always true. There's things that your heart can rejoice in again. Joy one time, rejoice, visit it again, and joy again because of what I have that nothing can change. No riot can change it. No virus can change it. Nothing happening in the world. So wait a second, Christian. I'm not going to tell you. I don't get frustrated with what's going on, but I have to have a reset button so I don't stay frustrated. What does it for me, that book? You say, okay, great preacher. 66 books, 1,800 stinking pages. Great, bigger than any book I've ever read before, and you tell me this is supposed to be my hope. What would happen if I could point you to four chapters in that book that God used to a man to write while he was in jail that becomes the joy book? They say the book of Philippians rings with the prison chains of joy. Isn't that a contradictory, right? How can you be in prison and have joy? That's because it didn't matter whether Paul was in a hole, the Mamertine prison, chained between two guards, or whether he spent about half of his ministry in jail. And it wasn't because he was being spanked by God. He said, doesn't matter to me. So I thought I would pull some truths out of it this morning because it's helped me and I want it to help you to where, you know what, when it gets to be too much, because sometimes it can, you ought to have a reset button. You ought to have a book you can go to and say, you know what, this is my anchor. And there's some things God's given me that'll never change, that I can joy over every day. But the sky is falling. Doesn't matter. And before I get started in this, before you get frustrated about everything that's going on, which there's enough, have you praised God yet for what's not going on? For instance, I don't mean, if I'm not careful how I explain this, I could come across as very selfish, and I'm not trying to be, but I was talking to my wife, I said, do you realize we've dealt with this coronavirus hoax? I don't know anybody that has it. That's right. I don't have anybody. I've talked to pastors all across America. I don't know anybody that's died from it. It's not been what you would call to our area. I know it's up north. I know in Washington, D.C., blah, blah, blah. Okay, I know that. But it seems like it's not, we haven't dealt with it. Right? Have you also realized with the riots? I know they're up north. As I was reading my Bible last night, I just said, thank you, Lord, we haven't dealt with it. I hear about it. I've seen the pictures. It's bothered me. But have you thanked God for what we're not dealing with? We haven't dealt with it. So you don't care. I didn't say that. I care. But I also don't want to miss God's blessing. We haven't dealt with it. I'm not going to tell you I haven't looked out my yard, my front porch, about 10 times, wondering if a group was coming down my street, you know. I'm not going to tell you my guns aren't loaded, my swords aren't sharpened. I may be dumb, but I'm not stupid. But it hasn't touched us. I'm talking as an area. I'm talking Mechanicsville, okay? I'm talking, have you praised God for that? Before you lose it about all that's going on, we have a lot to praise God for. We should be a thankful people, okay? Well, now let's look at here in this. If the riots are not bad enough, they are now renouncing the confusion that's coming from this. Let me go into some things that could cause some frustration. They're now renouncing social distancing if you want to participate in tearing your country apart. Everybody understand that? In other words, you're supposed to be 6 feet apart from everybody unless you want to participate in a riot. Well, now the COVID, 1,200 scientists last week signed a document saying if you want to riot, it's more important than not be infected with a coronavirus. 1,200 signed that. Is that not confusing? So if you want to participate in ripping your country apart, that's more important than quote-unquote a disease spreading. Isn't that confusing? That is to me the world's confusion. I heard that. So basically what we learned last week is COVID-19 is no longer important. I've always thought, as I thought through the Bible, I've always thought that life in the Roman Empire during Paul's time was much worse than we have here in America. Their taxes were higher. It was over 50%. Ours are 38%. So our taxes aren't yet what the Roman Empire was, but their taxes were higher. Life was harder. There was no middle class. There was only a ruling class and a poverty level. There's nothing like we have here in America. And I always thought that, okay, I always thought if they served God in Paul's time, and it was that hard to live for God and witness, that we can too. But now I'm starting to see the similarities between the chaos of America and the hardships of the Roman Empire. I have to understand this morning, my joy is because of what Jesus did for me at Calvary. And I can rejoice and I should rejoice regardless of the world and its chaos. I have to have that. Number one, look at verse 3 in chapter 1. Let's just kind of cut our way through this. What can you pull? Because remember, I'm doing this because if Paul could write in jail under the Roman Empire about joy and what he's telling the Christians at Philippi to rejoice in, then surely I can do that here in America, regardless of what's happening. Right? And the first thing he says in verse 3 is, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. That's why church is important. Do you know what it means to people when we get to sing together and shake hands and be together? This is important. We just went through 2 months where it's forbidden and unsafe. Suicides went up, drug usage, alcohol, child molestation, every vice in America skyrocketed. No, this is important. It's important that we meet. It's important. You say, well, I don't want, if you don't want to shake hands, you don't have to. There's something, though, about a friendly smile and a handshake that encourages us. God, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Here's Paul in the bottom of a prison saying, you know what encourages me? My church. Christian, you ought to be thanking God for each other. You know what? And look, you heard me say it last week. I said it the week before. But when I come to church, I'm with normal people. When I go out to Food Lion or Wawa, I'm with cray-crays. I mean, it's just like cuckoo land. And I want to be a help, and I want to reach out, but I'm just like, wow. So when I look, I've always looked forward to Sunday, but I really like Sunday. Okay? I feel like I'm as safe here as I'm safe at my house. And I'm with normal people. It's encouraging to be together. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Notice verse 6. It ought to be marked. Look what else he tells them. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, that's when he saved you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What's the next thing he reminds them of? Do you know how come we have good fellowship? Because when Jesus saved us, it wasn't with a temporary salvation. He saved us with an eternal salvation that we could never lose. And he said, he that started that work in you when he saved you, you can be confident. Not just have true faith in, but you can know it's going to happen. God's got a plan for you because you can't lose your salvation. That's the first thing he tells you, like way we can rejoice. Christian, I don't mean to... I don't want to keep you, but if you focus on what God's done for you when he saved you, there's a lot of joy that can come from that because it never changes. My sins are always forgiven. What a blessing. Being confident of one thing. If you do die, do you not know you're going to heaven? Can I just take you on a journey for a minute, on a worst case scenario? You know there's going to be another virus coming out, right? I don't know when. This wasn't the only virus. We dealt with H1N1, H1N1, whatever, in 2009. We dealt with SARS in 2002. There's always viruses coming out. Ebola, 2014. Get that one, you know. Praise God, that wasn't a pandemic or whatever. I don't think there ever was a pandemic. I think there was an epidemic with a real virus, but I don't think it was ever the pandemic that they told us it was. Let's take a worst case scenario just for a second. If I found out next year that a new virus just got released, everybody's going to get it, and everybody's going to die, where would I rather be? At my house? You know what? If we're all going to get it and we're all going to die, I'd rather come here and be with you. Amen. If we're all going to get it, right? I'll never see a purpose in shutting church down again. I thought about that, and I thought, you know, I'd rather come to church and be with God's people and sit and shake at my house. Well, you don't know what wind it's in. It's just amazing. I'd rather live with God's people. Amen. And watch this. And when we do suffer, we get to pray for each other and help each other rather than the isolation garbage. Nothing good came of that. It didn't help nothing. It didn't help the health of America, the economy of America. There's no good that came from the last 2 months. Praise God, I can't lose my salvation. Look at verse 9, ready? As we work our way through here. What truths can I pull from Philippians, this book of joy that God used Paul to write in jail, when it was that hard that I can pull? Look at verse 9. And this I pray that your love, watch, may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That's spiritual growth, Christian. In other words, regardless of what's happening on the outside, things I cannot change, things I don't have any power to change, I should still be interested in my heart's relationship with the Lord who saved me, because He never leaves me. Now I can grow. And He can use this to strengthen me while the world is spazzing and losing it. Amen? That your love may grow and abound more and more in knowledge and judgment. Look at the next verse, verse 10. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. You know what the word sincere means? It means without veneer or cover. There's no mask over it. What you see is what you get. I'm working at being that type of a Christian to where I don't care what other people think about me. I care what God thinks about me. That is sincere, right? I'm supposed to grow to where I can become a Christian that is sincere, where the mask is removed, and say, you know what? I'm a sinner saved by grace. You're not looking at anybody that's perfect, but you're looking at somebody that's eternally saved. Amen? He said that you may grow in sincerity. Watch, sincerity without offense till the day of Christ. That's the way we're all supposed to be working. You can tell a mature Christian from somebody that just got saved, because somebody just got saved is interested. What's everybody think about me? Right? But you learn through your walk with God and through your prayer time and through your Bible time, your happiness and joy comes from your walk with Him. Right? And you start learning, I don't need the mask. I don't want to offend you. I don't want to hurt you. But I'm not living for you. Right? And if I'll make God happy, I'll make you happy. Amen? And if you're not happy with me making God happy, then I don't want to make you happy. Right? So a mature Christian grows to that point of sincerity where I don't need the mask anymore. So I'm learning how to rejoice and how to access what God's given me all the time, regardless of my... Keep in mind, this guy has no lights. He's in the bottom of a jail, and he's chained between two prisoners. Okay? A soldier here and a soldier here, and they take 8-hour shifts being chained to a preacher. Okay? And yet he still says, I'm praying for you that you grow spiritually. He said, I'm working at it, and you can work at it. Don't let the circumstances change what you're doing. That's verse, okay, watch this. Look at verse 12. Watch this. What else can you pull? Verse 12, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. I think that verse is amazing. He said, you're praying for me because I'm in jail. But you know how this is a book of joy? Because I may be in jail, but God put me here to get people saved for the furtherance of the gospel. And there's people I'm supposed to witness to. Guess what? Two guys were stuck with the greatest Christian in New Testament times for 8 hours a day. You don't think Paul witnessed to them? Hey guys, if you died today, where are you going? Huh? If you take a sword next week for Caesar, where are you going? Huh? Yeah, you want to know? Yeah, God used me to write the Bible. Let me tell you. Here, let me tell you. They dealt with 8 hours. You can't tell me Paul did. I think that's awesome. Because you know the result of it? Watch. You say, how come this is important? If Paul could do that chained between two prisoners in the Roman Empire, then that tells me what happens in yours and my life. What's happening to us right now? There's somebody God's going to use us to get saved. God will use this in our lives just like God used it in Paul's life. Look at the next verse. Watch this. It says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest, and you got to read this right. It doesn't say in all the place and in all other places. It says in all the palace. You know what's wonderful? You ought to underline the word palace. Do you know why? Because there were people, when that soldier would get saved and the next shift would come in, unchain, chain the next soldier to him, Paul started over. Hey guys, if you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? and soldier after soldier got saved, where would they go? Back to the headquarters. Where were they watching? The jail and the palace. So people are getting saved because Paul's in jail. Christian, I don't know why everything's happening. I just know this. When it gets really bad and I get really frustrated, I know that one of the most important things I can do is go soul winning. Because God's trying to get me to where I can reach people that I couldn't have reached before. Paul was leading people to Christ in the jail, chained, that he never could have reached had he not been there. I don't know why any of this is happening. You say, when's it going to stop? I don't have a clue. I just know the best thing you can do is witness, I mean aggressively hand out gospel tracts. We ought to be inviting every person to church. What are they going to think? Right now, everybody needs God. Brother Doggett talked to a lady yesterday. She was like, maybe we need to have a neighborhood prayer meeting. You know what her answer was? I know God's supposed to be involved in something. God's part some. She didn't know church was important. That's because she's lost. But she's sitting here thinking, we need God somehow. I appreciate the sincerity. She needs the Lord. Right now, when the world's in turmoil, the things that have happened unto me have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. There's people we're supposed to be getting saved that wouldn't have gotten saved had we not gone through this. I'm trying to work you through the book of Philippians. Why is this the book of joy in the New Testament? Because there's reset buttons that we can have. Let's go to, that was verses 1 through 13. Go down to verse, this is restated again. Look at verse number 27. I'm in chapter 1. It says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. There it is again. So in verse number 13, he hits it. And in verse number 20, he said, make sure what you're doing is fitting to get people saved. I don't mind if you prep. I don't mind. You want to store up food? Yeah, I think it's a good deal. Make sure you save up some food to give away. Make sure you can save to be a blessing. Amen? If the bottom does fall out and the economy fails and the food shortage does come, you're going to need to be a blessing to people. And watch, God's going to use you if you prepare to be used. To do what? I know any tragedy that hits this country, God wants to use. Look, you know what I do? I look at the map in our area and I think, there's a family. I know where they live. I know where they live. I live right here. They live here. I've often wondered, if the bottom fell out economically and the food shortage began, who are people in your neighborhood going to look to? It's all I can do to keep from having a church service where I try to say, do you have what you need in your house for your neighbors to come to your house and get saved? I want to pass out Bibles to everybody in church. I want to pass out things that meant to me as a Christian. This pamphlet here and this teaching. Could you do it in your neighborhood? Because I do know this. If it happens, God wants to use you in where you're at to help people. They're going to be reaching out. They're going to be like, what do we do now? Are you ready for that? Well, I don't know if I... Are you ready to be a blessing? Amen? Are you preparing to be used? Look, my preservation and me making it through 5 years from now, that's in God's hands. Amen? Now, I'm not so goofy that I don't do nothing. We're planting carrots. Okay? We're raising rabbits. Raising chickens. Okay? Just started that this year. My Abby, she's so funny. My mom and dad have turned into farmers. We'll say, Ab, come on out here and help us. And so we'll be hoeing, you know, in the beds there. And she goes, Mom and Dad. And then I'm building this greenhouse, you know. And she's so funny. She goes, so she's whenever she showed us some things that she sent to people. It's in all of them. Yeah, this is our new farm. Yeah. She's showing him. Yeah. These are our chickens. She was showing me a video last night. My mom and dad have turned into farmers. Okay, I don't have a problem. But Christian, don't lose the fact that in all of this, God wants to use you. Amen? That's what I pull from the book of Philippians. I'm trying to help you this morning and saying, you know what? Can't change anything of what's happening. I wish the riot would stop too. For the life of me, I don't know why a mayor of Washington, D.C. would disarm the National Guard and kick them out of the motels. What are you trying to do? You don't care if riots and destruction happen? Why wouldn't you be trying to protect the White House and the president? What a stupid mayor. Sorry, that slipped. No, that was on purpose. Okay. The insanity out there, the more I learn of what's going on, the more, if I'm not careful, Christian, I come back to this book and I think, you know what? Praise God for what He's given me. I've got a joy that God, nothing can, the world can't take from me that God gave to me. Amen. That's the purpose of the sermon. Let's keep on going here. Look, that's verse 20. Let's go to the next truth. Look at verse 21. Watch this. For to me, to live is Christ. We haven't even gotten out of chapter 1 yet. There's 3 more chapters where God says, I want to help you joy with nothing that can change it. And look what He says in verse 21. I wish you'd mark this verse. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know what it takes to believe that? An unpleasant experience in this world. You've heard me say it before. I said it, I think, 3 weeks ago. If everything in this world is the way we always hoped it would be, and we don't have any conflicts, and we never have any hardships, why would you look forward to heaven? If you have, okay, and I want you to have everything. I want you to be happy and float around on feathers, okay? But that's not life. So when the hardships happen, and when the world's going nuts, I'm not suicidal. But I am supposed to be longing for heaven, because one day I'm going to go where there are no more riots. And there is no more death and suffering and tears and pain. Why wouldn't I long for heaven? Christian, instead of, what are we going to do? Find solace in your Bible, the patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Watch this. To die is gain. Okay, to die is gain. Look at verse number 22. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. In other words, I'm not sure. For I am in a strait betwixt two. You know what that means? God gave the Apostle Paul the choice. Would you like me to take you home, or do you want to stay down there? Do you want to keep on living, or do you want to come home and be with me? I'm in a strait between two. God told me I can either go home and be with Him, or I can stay down here with you. That's an amazing verse to me. Because you know what Paul chose? Look at his statement. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart. Of course I want to go to heaven and to be with Christ. And then could you underline these 4 words? Which is far better. Far better. Not just better. Far better. I'm not suicidal, but dear Christian, between verse 21 and 23, there's supposed to be a longing for heaven that says, you know what? One day I'm going where there's not going to be any more strife and war and disease and turmoil. Where is the longing for heaven? Where's the longing for the rapture? It could happen any moment. And then we all go home and the liberals can have it. Amen? They can run the van routes. Which is far better. You know what? That's one of my funeral verses. They're not with us right now. But because they're saved, they're far better. I wish they were here. But if you could invite them back, they wouldn't want to come. We should be longing for them and going where they are, where Jesus is, not for them to come back to this sin-cursed world, right? Because they're far better. You don't understand? That's something that the world can't take from you. That's why you can be joyful and rejoice in that. We're still in chapter 1 of truths from the book of Philippians, the book of joy. Watch this. Okay, look at verse 20. He's going to remind it again in verse. Look at verse 20, because he's going to hit it again. Yeah, go to chapter 3 and look at verse 20 where he says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself." Once again, he's longing for the rapture. He's looking for heaven. How come the book of Philippians is the book of joy in the New Testament when it's being written from a jail cell in such a tumultuous empire? You know, it's going to fall in about 300 years, the Roman Empire. It's going to literally implode. People are going to the Colosseums for entertainment. They're watching people die. This is a rough place. It's what the tax dollars are going to. There's forced idolatry and fornication to the emperor in the temples that are in Rome all throughout, not just the capital. This is a gross place to live. Wow, as a Christian, what? Wait a second. There's things you should be focusing on as a child of God. Now go back to chapter 1. Look at verse 28. Let's see if we can finish chapter 1. All right? Look at verse 28. Look at verse 28. "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God." Look, as I read this, I thought, what another reset button. There shouldn't be anything I'm scared of. And the more you live in fear, the more you lose your testimony with the world. You literally become a Christian that's saved and on their way to heaven, but living like an atheist. You fear like everybody else, and you live like there's no God. Well, I know he's good enough to get me to heaven, but boy, about as far as making it tomorrow and helping us next week, and oh my goodness, that in nothing you should be terrified. Because when they see you living, hey, how you doing? Let me give you an invitation to church. Wow, hey, when they see you like that, it's an evident token of their perdition. It convicts them. You mean you're not scared? What happens if they're right? They're only 40 miles from here. 40 miles from here. What happens if they come down here? You know Waldorf next, don't you? Don't you? I've heard all this. You know, Waldorf, right? That's Charles County. We're doomed. We're all doomed. "That in nothing terrified by your adversaries." And the more terrified and more fearful you live, the more you lose your testimony with the world. Oh, you're scared like us. Yeah, your God doesn't help you. Yeah, church is useless, right? Yeah, the Bible's just a waste of time. Yeah, we've always thought that too. You lose your testimony when your life is governed by fear and you don't pull from the joy that God gave you when he saved you. What a verse. Let's finish reading it. Look at verse 28. Let me just read it again. "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." Did you know this, Christian? How come you're not scared, Pastor? God's not taking a baby aspirin over anything that's happened in the past year. God's not worried a bit. Did you know with God, everything's happening just as planned? I personally think I'm going to be shocked if I live a natural life. I really believe we're getting close to Jesus coming. You say they've always been saying that. I know, but remember, Israel's not always been a nation. There are things that are in place right now that have not always been in place. I will be shocked if I live a natural life. I really believe. You say, when? I don't know. And if I named a date, then you'd know it's not going to be then, right? But I like that song. "Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, Brother Grady, he was so funny. When I was, he was in my Bible class, he used to sing that song. He used to go, soon and very soon. Can't you see him doing that? But I'll walk around singing that, soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. I want to get ready to see the King. I want to get ready. We only made it through chapter 1. I wish I could go through the whole book of Philippians and just pull truth. What do you have to pull from when the chaos is happening that you can focus back and say, you know what? My joy doesn't change. And you could be happy every day. Christian, that book has to be your focal point. I hope I encouraged you to read it. I wish I could cover more of it with you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for, Lord, the anchor of your word. Lord, the hope that we have.